Joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Brad, is State Senator Len Susio, Republican from Meriden. Last night, Middlefield's Board of Selectmen passing a resolution urging Connecticut lawmakers to override Governor Malloy's budget veto. Senator, is this going to start a movement with the backdrop of these budget negotiations still taking place?
Well, that's my firm hope, Dan. As you know, and your audience knows, we're operating under the governor's executive order, with its unbelievable draconian cuts to our cities and towns. He's totally eliminated state funding to 85 towns and drastically...
Wait a minute. You say he's eliminated all the funding to those 85 towns? Everything?
All the statutory grant money. It's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
That he's eliminated. So 85 towns are going cold turkey. Not a nickel of state aid, and another 54, he's dramatically reduced it. So there's only about a dozen or so towns that have been insulated from this. Virtually every town and city in Connecticut is under siege financially now. And, of course, you two heard the story about the Moody's credit agency getting prepared to downgrade the credit ratings of over 51 Connecticut towns, and it's got nothing to do with what those towns are doing. It's got to do with what the governor's doing to those towns with his executive order and the devastating impact it's having on them. And so we are really, the people who are managing these towns are now really faced with a looming crisis of their own. Governor Malloy, unfortunately, in his 7 years as governor, has wreaked havoc on our state and its budget. And now he's about to start wreaking havoc on every city and town in Connecticut. It's just intolerable. It can't continue. And as you know, we've been urging people to call House Democrats and get them to vote for an override of this veto, because from a practical point of view, we have only two choices right now: continue operating under his executive order or override the veto of the budget. And the budget that was approved with bipartisan support held the towns harmless. There was no cuts from their funding at all in the next year.
Well, why? There's got to be a reason that he's doing this. I mean, is it the unions? Is that what it is?
Well, you know, he made his deal with the unions, of course, and so he's limited to what he can do there. But again, the budget itself that was approved, Brad, didn't have any of these cuts, and it was a balanced budget with no tax increase in it. And he just didn't approve of it. It was his way or the highway, so he vetoed that budget. And again, that budget itself evolved over 4 months, and it was written and rewritten a number of times, 4 or 5 times, to accommodate Democrat objections. And that's finally why it won Democratic support. So it is a bipartisan budget that represents a consensus of the majority of the House and the Senate, but it didn't accommodate what Governor Malloy wanted. He wanted to pass on hundreds of millions of dollars of teacher pension fund liability to the towns, for example, and we were adamantly opposed to that. And they also have one of the biggest tax increases in the history of the state, again, to balance the budget. That's totally unacceptable. And that's why we're at an impasse. And even though we're making progress towards developing a broad-based consensus, I don't believe we're close to it. We're going to know more today, but I personally doubt that it's going to happen. And in the meantime, these cuts are accumulating. Millions of dollars already have been cut back, and so the town's cash coffers are going dry. It's going to precipitate a crisis in the town's cash flow now, and every month that goes by, it's accumulating and getting worse. It's a disaster in the making.
Okay, Senator, this is interesting. 2 points. One, there is this supposed self-imposed deadline by the lawmakers negotiating the budget of 2:30 this afternoon. You don't think that's going to happen?
I personally don't think it's going to happen. There's always an outside chance, but I wouldn't bet on it. That's for sure.
Now, there's also a story making the rounds on ctmirror.org, among other websites, that the Republicans have backed off of their insistence on these pension concessions by the unions come 2027. What do you know about that?
I'd be shocked. We believe, in fact, Senator Fasano issued a press release late yesterday or yesterday evening citing court history on issues that are similar to this and defending our position that it is legally defensible and that it can be done. So I I'm skeptical about that story that we're backing off on it. I believe that we're on firm ground legally. And by the way, if people are going to object to that idea because it might be litigated, then what are we doing with the governor's executive order?
That's right.
To be litigated.
Right.
The CEA is suing the governor for that, saying it's unconstitutional, illegal.
Right. So, do you think this could go on for a while then? It's already gone on for over 3 months, but do you think it could go on for longer, this budget fiasco?
I would be betting on it, to be honest with you. I hope it doesn't, but I believe it is going to go on. I think it's going to go on for another month or two at least. And that's why the towns have to act now. We've got to vote to override the veto, and we can use the budget that was passed itself as a temporary vehicle. It's either use the governor's executive order as a temporary vehicle to manage the state's finances, or use the actual budget that was approved. And the governor's executive order, of course, is absolutely devastating in its impact, whereas the budget that was approved does none of this damaging stuff. So that's why it's important for your listeners to call the Democrats in the House at 860-240-8500 and tell them to vote to override the veto. And we can use, again, the budget temporarily. You know, don't forget, Governor Moy's been governor for 7 years. He's had seven budgets. Every single one of them wound up being temporary. None of them ever withstood the test of time, because they're all budgets that were gimmicks to begin with on a foundation of sand. So we can always revise the budget that has been approved and treat that as a temporary means of managing the state. We could amend it the day after it's after the veto override to accommodate a broader consensus, if we can do it. But if we stay like we are, we need the governor to go along. He's proven to be unreasonable and intransigent. And if we override his veto, we don't need him. We can go ahead and we can manage the state finances temporarily without the governor's input, and we can and then work on developing a broader-based consensus budget as time goes on.
Senator, thank you so much. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Senator.
7:30.
Take care.